Look at Psalm 1. I titled the message tonight, Planted. Planted. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you here. Notice, if you will, Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. It's a wonderful little psalm there. It starts out, 150 psalms that are there in the Bible. And it's a good warning to us and a good help to all of us to remember that there are blessings when we walk with the Lord and walk in Him. I titled the series, as I said, Planted. Planted. You and I as Christians, you know, ought to be planted. Planted down. Rooted. Paul says, be rooted and grounded. Planted. And that's sometimes a difficult thing to do in this world. The soil of this world, you should not be planted in. But God has prepared a place for each one of us to be planted. As we see here tonight, this first message is planted like a tree. Planted like a tree. Now, I came up with a real catchy quote here, okay, to go with the series. And it took me a long time to think about it. So, Brother Adam, we might want to post this on media. I mean, I don't know. It took me forever to... But listen, planted is a predetermined position for the progressively pure. Man, did you catch all that? I don't even know if that makes sense. Okay, no. We're going to look at that in a minute. And I hope it's a blessing, but planted is a predetermined position for the progressively pure. Now, notice in our scripture, the ungodly, they digress, don't they? They go backwards. They start out walking, and then it turns to standing, and then it turns to sitting. But the spiritual man and spiritual woman ought to be progressing, obviously clearer, and you know that. Now, another portion of scripture, Psalm 92:13, he says, those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Talking about how we all will be flourishing if we are planted in the house of God. What a wonderful promise to us. As we see this here tonight, I hope to be a blessing to you. But the spiritual man is progressing towards purity, isn't he? By way of, I'm not speaking just in a moral way. I'm talking about a spiritual, doctrinal, all of that purity that comes with us walking with the Lord. And so it's a predetermined position for all of us. God guaranteed to plant us, be rooted. You've seen some trees, and obviously they grow near the water. But boy, they're strong trees, aren't they? Man, they're planted, they're rooted deep. They're showing us what God can do in the life of a believer. Now, as we think through this wonderful portion of Scripture, that again, we think about Jeremiah 17:6, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And then he says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. So he shows us the spiritual man is planted, right? He's where he's supposed to be, and he's not going to worry about the year of drought. He's already caught up. He's not going to cease from yielding fruit. And then he follows it up with the heart is deceitful above all things. It's deceitful. Be very careful and cautious about that. That when we lean into our own understanding, we follow our own ways, we do what we think is right, it leads us down the wrong pathway, doesn't it? We're to be planted. Planted. Now, notice with me a couple things here. First of all, the potential digression in verse number 1. The potential digression. Blessed is the man that walketh not the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Do you see the digression taking place? He's walking, he's then standing, and then he decides, you know what? Go ahead and sit down. I like it here, right? I like it here. You think through here with me. First of all, notice the walk. Now, they're walking according to the counsel and instruction of the ungodly. I am surprised, I know maybe you are as well. How many Christians or Bible-believing people will go to the counsel of the ungodly? What do you think I should do? They go to the counsel of maybe somebody of a psychiatrist nature. Go to somebody like that and say, what do you think I should do in this situation? Where should I go? How should I go about this? What should be my outlook? What should be my outlook? One of the things happening today in Christianity is that we're blending biblical doctrine with pop psychology of the world. And it's a blending of, it's a mixing. And the Bible's too straightforward and too strict for many people, and so they'll blend together and try and help other people, right, with some type of pop psychology and other things. And we see throughout history that that never works out, and there's a definite delineator that God sets down. And we're going to be careful. Notice they're walking according to the counsel of the ungodly person. They swallow this counsel, hook, line, and sinker, and they walk according to it. The counsel of the world. I said this, but I'll say it again. Be careful about the counsel you receive. You may not go and sit down in front of a psychologist or somebody, sit back and tell me all your problems, right? Now I can do that. I like that. What are you thinking about, you know? What's your problems? Why do you have those thoughts? Why do you have this and that? But, listen, they are going and hearing the things of the world, allowing that maybe influence of other music and other, just nature of the worldly nature, the things of that coming in. Notice this in Scripture. It's very interesting to look up. I looked up the word counsel in Numbers 31:16. Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Do you remember that story in Numbers? They went and they asked, and the king Balak of the Moabites came and asked counsel of Balaam, who was at the time a spiritual man. He was following the Lord, and he said, what should we do? How can you prophesy against or curse these people, the nation of Israel? And he said, well, let me ask the Lord. And he asked the Lord, and the Lord said, absolutely not. Those are my people. Are you getting all this, Amos? He's like, oh, man. He's taking notes tonight. He's doing great. And he came back and he said, absolutely not. The Lord said, no way. I'm not going to curse those people. And so he came back again and came back. And he said, now, Balaam, listen, I'm going to make you rich. I'm going to make you wealthy. I'm going to give you everything that you want. And over time, you know what happened. Balaam went. And Balaam then eventually, he acquiesced or compromised and went along with the Moabites. A little bit later, it says that the nation of Israel went in and they took out the Moabites, and it says, and they also killed Balaam. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time, wasn't he? Wrong place at the wrong time. But notice, through the counsel of Balaam, caused the people to commit a trespass against the Lord. God's people listened to the counsel of an ungodly person, if you will, of the worldly nature, if you will. 2 Samuel 15:31, and one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness, to foolishness. 1 Kings 12:8, but he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people, who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? He goes through in verse 13, and the king answered the people roughly and forsook, notice, the old men's counsel that they gave him. You remember that's Rehoboam. And he was the son of Solomon and said, what should I do? And the old men said, listen, you need to treat the people good. You need to take care of them. They want to fight for you. They want to take care of you like a son. Do what we tell you to do. And he goes to his buddies, his contemporaries of the same generation, said, hey guys, what should I do? And they said, oh, good night. Don't listen to those old fellas. They're old school. They don't know what they're talking about. You tell them that you're the king, they're going to listen to what you say, and if they don't like it, you'll take care of them. What happened? I like that. The pride welled up in him. He stood in front of the people, told them, you're going to do what I tell you or else. And all the people looked at him and rebelled. And he went, uh-oh. And they all turned against him, didn't they? They turned against him. Now you think about the counsel. He said, what counsel give me that I should tell the people? Should I tell the people? So notice this person, this individual, this man in particular here in Psalm 1, he's walking not in the counsel of the ungodly. And notice, first of all, what they'll try and do is counsel you. They know you're not going to just follow it. They know you're not just going to fall for it. They're first going to counsel you. Hey, maybe you should think about this. Maybe you should think about doing it this way, not being so maybe rigid, maybe not being so strict, if you will, or so adherent to the word of God. He forsook the counsel. The counsel. I have several other verses here. Saul, when asked counsel of a familiar spirit, as you recall, and Psalm even 2, verse 2, next, it says, the kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Psalm 2, verse 2. And by the way, God will have them in derision. God's still in control. The Lord is still on his throne. And they counsel together. Hey, what should we do? What should we do to conquer and get around this? What should we do? So this individual is walking in the counsel. Can I encourage you to be careful about the counsel you receive from the world? What you listen to, what you hear, what you watch, all of that. You know that. Psalm 33:10, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. None effect. Psalm 33:11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Isaiah 30, verse 1, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. They cover with covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Hey, why don't they come to the counsel of the word of God or to the Lord? Why, they want to add sin to sin. I don't want to hear what God has to say and convict me of my sin and change my ways. I want to be planted like a tree by the rivers of water. Planted. And that's what he's saying here, be planted. But he starts out walking. Notice the next, he starts to stand. Stand, nor stand in the way of sinners. They now linger in the way of sinners. The counsel of the ungodly always seeks to get us to associate with them, ungodly, and keep company with the ungodly. Get us to associate. We're walking along as he is here, and then now he starts to stand, lingers around. By the way, the ungodly try and get us to stop our momentum, don't they? Once you stop your momentum spiritually, it's hard to get it rolling again, isn't it? Very hard. But if you got that 18-wheeler moving just a little bit, it's much easier to turn that wheel, isn't it? Instead of just sitting there, man, you're grinding it out. You think about that. They're trying to stop your momentum. He stands. Now, this is, again, notice, this is the fault of this individual person. You know, oh, they're causing him to stand and stop. No, he made the choice and the decision to stand. He made the decision to heed the counsel and then stand. It's up to us, the individual. Now, as we think through this, we got to be careful where we stand. What are you standing on? Where are you planted at? Planted by the rivers of water. Some people just don't like anything. They just can't figure out where to go, what to do. I saw a little Peanuts cartoon. Remember that? And old Lucy was saying, oh, I'm just so angry. And Charlie Brown said, what you angry about? She said, I don't know. I'm just angry. I hate the world. I hate what I'm wearing. I hate how I look. I hate this. She's going on and on. And Charlie Brown said, man, good night. He said, just last week you told me you had inner peace. She said, I do have inner peace, but I still have outward anger or something like that. I still have inner peace. I still have outward anger. I like that. She still has the right to do that. You think about so many people are like that. Boy, they don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to stand for, I'm saying. And we got to stand. You know that. Deuteronomy 13. Brought you out of the land of Egypt, redeemed you out of the house of bondage, thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. Deuteronomy 31:29, for I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. Evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. We could go through, I have so many verses here talking about the way. Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the word of God. Thinking through, let me jump a couple verses. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. So anyways, coming back to you, we know it's the backward digression, the potential digression that we have. Enter in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. There many there be that go therein. So then we see here, thirdly, let me say this here. Then he sits. Notice that. He sits. Standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In the seat of the scornful. Now, scornful, not a word maybe we use too much today, but it means feeling or expressing contempt or derision. It's basically a bad attitude, isn't it? You're scornful. You scorn people. Notice your attitude and outlook on life change. This man is supposed to be a blessed man, a man that's fearing the Lord, a man that's walking for God, and he's giving warning here. Don't walk, don't stand, and then don't sit. You're now seated and set down, not planted by the river like a tree, but you're now sit down in the midst of an ungodly surroundings. Proverbs 29 verse 8, scornful men bring a city into a snare. Wise men turn away wrath. Isaiah 28, 14, wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, the scorn. Judgments are prepared for scorners, stripes for the back of fools. Proverbs 19, 29. We see here, scorning. There's a scornful, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The most unhappy person in the world, I do believe, is a saved person who's living in an ungodly way, associating themselves with ungodly people. Now, see the digression taking place. Very careful about that. The spiritual man progresses, the ungodly man digresses. Okay. Now we see that. Number two, though, notice this, the peculiar delight. The peculiar delight. But his delight, verse 2, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate every once in a while. Does it say that? What's it say? Day and night. Yeah, day and night, right? I like that. All the time, doesn't he? A peculiar delight. Psalm 37, 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I couldn't say that. The desires of thine heart. Isn't that true? You delight yourself in the Lord. I'm talking about being planted in Christ, planted where we're supposed to be, standing strong, not giving in. We're planted, planted where we should be, doing what God's asked us to do. Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O God, yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight. Notice that. It's a peculiar delight. And the delight of the world is completely different than the delight of a Christian, a man or woman who serves the Lord, isn't it? I have a delight. You find it fascinating. You find it interesting to study the Bible. We go, yep. You find it exciting to go to church. Yeah. I mean, because we hear the Word of God and get to fellowship and sing praises to the Lord and all of that and give to the Lord. You find it exciting and fascinating to be around God's people. Well, not all the time, but you know, some usually, yeah. It's a peculiar delight. And it's okay to be peculiar and different serving the Lord. And by the way, you will be. The world will label you that. Proverbs 18:2. A fool hath no delight in understanding. But what? That his heart may discover itself. I don't want understanding. I want to discover my own heart. I want to know what I want. I wonder what the dreams I have and the potential I have out there. By the way, when you give your heart to Christ and serve Him, He enhances all of that, as we've already covered before. Many delights here, verses, Psalm 119:47, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. And you think about it, well, I don't have a great desire for the law of the Lord, for the Word of God. I don't have a desire for that. You know, the more time you spend in the Bible, the more of a delight you'll get, the more of a desire to be in the Word of God. Just like some of you like to read books or do other hobbies or do things. At first, you didn't really like to read. You didn't really like to do that. But after time, what happened? Well, I like that. You get kind of an addiction to it. I enjoy that. The more time you spend in the Scriptures, the more time you force yourself even to come to church. You know, sometimes it's a force. You're like, ah. So the more you do that, the more you force yourself to listen to the Spirit and do righteousness over sinful things, you become and get a greater delight for doing what God's asked you to do. But what's His delight? It's in the Word of the Lord. Notice, it's in the Word of God. And in His Word, the law, He doth meditate. Meditate. He meditates. Listen to Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's a good prayer for all of us, isn't it? For myself especially. Is what I just said acceptable to you, Lord? Is what I just thought about, meditated on, is that acceptable to you? Oh, it wasn't? Okay. Oh, it wasn't? Notice the words, plural, of my mouth, and the meditation, singular, of my heart. We can meditate upon one thing at a time. Did you know that? Some of you may disagree with that. You're scatterbrained. You got all these things. No, literally, you meditate upon one thing. Now, it may shift very rapidly to other stuff, but one thing at a time. One thing at a time. And you can take meditation, say, Lord, I want to meditate on You right now. Help me to do that. This man, this person living, who's planted by God, is meditating in the Word of God. Meditating in the Word of God. It's a predetermined position planted for the progressively pure. You're progressively seeking after purity. You're progressively going after what God wants you to do. You're progressively delighting yourself in the Word of God. And what happens? It's a predetermined position. God says, I'm guaranteeing that I'll plant that individual. I will plant them. Too many Christians are wishy-washy, up and down, don't know what to do, don't know where to go, don't know what to feel, don't know how to feel on Monday, then Tuesday, then Wednesday, then Sunday. Oh, we're back up. I'm ready to go. I'm feeling good. No. I'm planted. I know where I am. I'm planted. How did I do that? How did God do that? Excuse me. Because I availed myself to the Word of God. Psalm 49:3, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Psalm 104. Oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day. All the day. Psalm 119:97. Psalm 119:99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. My meditation. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Verse 15. So many about meditating. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Meditate, he says, upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. 1 Timothy 4:15. Meditate. Sit down. You have time to meditate on all kinds of things. You meditate on your favorite hobby. You meditate on Facebook. You meditate on Instagram. You meditate on all kinds of things, but we don't meditate on the Word. The Word of God. Now notice here he says day and night. Day and night. It's not a one-time event, a continuous meditation upon the Word of God. It's distinction. We need it during the day. We need it at night. If you notice that in your life, during the day it's different. During the night it's different. I know that's a shock to some of you. It's different. During the day, you don't have maybe some of the certain temptations and things you got to deal with and stresses. At night, if you're like me, do you lay in bed at night and worry about all these different things? Your kids, and you're thinking about your kids and your finances, you're thinking about other stuff. And it's different. But you're meditating upon it day and night, day and night. Joshua 1, verse 8, you know what it says. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. How many times? Day and night. Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein, Joshua. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Moses says, Joshua, you want good success? You want to be prosperous? You want to lead this nation? Joshua said, yes, I do. Do you want to do what God's asked you to do? Yes. Do you want to follow through and do the will of? Yes. Then meditate in the Word. When? Day and night. You mean all the time? Day and night. Day and night. We meditate upon the Word of God, avail ourselves for God, and let Him work in our lives. Again, I'm talking about being planted, planted, planted. Let me say thirdly here, planted disciple. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree. He shall be like a tree. Now notice some of these characteristics that happen when we're planted by God. You're a planted disciple. This tree has been planted by the Lord. Now I said this before, but I'll say again, there's a prepared place for the prepared person. I spit a lot when I say that. There's a prepared place for the prepared prepared person. Isn't that true? That's a principle of life. If you didn't study for your finals, you're going to tank. I mean, you remember all that. All of you remember that. You didn't study. You didn't prepare. You're going to tank. You're not going to be ready for the show. Now, you're planted. He's planted by God. Planted is, it is never in short supply of the life-giving water that it needs to grow and survive. We've been looking on Wednesday nights about the vine, right, girls? You guys all got your vines going. You're watering it. You're taking care of it. Now, this is the great picture for us. It's never in short supply. Never. Now, notice a couple things about this. He says, real interesting as you follow this. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, notice this. First of all, it's very punctual. It's punctual. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. It's punctual. It produces the fruit at the right time every season. When the farmer comes at the expected time for fruit, it's always there for the picking. We are in short supply of fruit in our lives because of lack of meditation in the Word. So again, coming back to that. Notice he's punctual. You're where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. You're producing the fruit. The Lord comes and says, Tim, you got any fruit? It's season time. Oh, yes, you do. Great. Okay, good. Good job. Good. You're doing what you're supposed to do. You're doing what you're supposed to do. It's punctual. It's punctual. Not only is he planted, but he's punctual. Number three, notice he's a picture of health. Picture of health. Bringeth forth fruit in his season. Notice next, his leaf also shall not wither. His leaf shall not wither, both spiritually, emotionally, physically, not wither. He's a picture of health. All from meditating in the Word of God. There's no withering. There's no withering, which is a sign of unhealthy roots, by the way. Your roots are bad. There's no fruit. The leaves are withering. Your roots are bad. Out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaketh. Your roots are bad. And Paul says, be rooted and grounded. Now, he's a picture of health. A healthy Christian, a happy, healthy, joyful, Spirit-filled Christian, you can tell, you can always tell, they've spent time meditating in the Word of God. You can tell. He's a picture of health. He's punctual in his fruit-bearing. He's planted by God. Let me say number four, he prospers. He prospers. Now notice this. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Prosper. Notice, whatsoever he does shall prosper. That's what I want my life to be. Prosper. Deuteronomy 29, verse 9, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them that ye may prosper in all that ye do. Prosper. He says to Joshua, Joshua 1, 7, be strong and courageous. Thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Prosper. Nehemiah 2, 20, then answered I them and said to them, God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we as servants will arise and build. Prosperity. It's not the things of the world. Too many of us are looking for prosperity in the world. In the world. I want prosperity in the world. Spiritual prosperity. No weapon formed against thee shall, what? Prosper. Isaiah 54, 17. Prosper. 3 John 1, 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospereth. Notice that. This is from meditating in the Word of God. So there's a planted disciple. He's planted. He's punctual. He's a picture of health, spiritually. And he prospers. That's what I want to be. I know you do, but he's planted. Planted. Let me say lastly, there's the pretenders detected. The pretenders are detected. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Now, you call that. They throw the wheat down and they bring out the fans. You ever seen this in the old days? Big old fans. And what happens? The chaff blows away. Those seeds stay put because they're heavier than the chaff. And he says, notice, the chaff that the wind driveth away. They're pretenders. When the fan is waved, the seed and chaff are instantly separated. Separated. You can tell. You know someone meditating in the Word of God. You know someone who's planted. You know it's Matthew 7, 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Depart. What a sad day. They come to say, Lord, 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 don't you know who we are? Lord says, no, I don't. Depart. The fan is in his hand, Matthew 3, 12. The fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And Isaiah 5, 24, therefore as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts. Notice, and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. Why will they go up as chaff? Why will their roots be rotten? Why will their blossom go up as dust? Why? Because they cast away the law of the Lord and the word, they despised the word of God. It's not rocket science. Follow the Bible. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. Plant yourself in the Bible. Notice the planted disciple, the pretenders detected. They're detected. And God reveals that. Notice, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The way of ungodly shall perish. What if God doesn't notice me or recognize what I... No, he does. He knows the way of the righteous. He knows where you are, what you're doing. He has your address. And I'm saying tonight, we got to be planted. Are you planted where you're supposed to be? Are you planted in the right place at the right time? The only way to do that is to meditate the Word of God. Day and night, don't walk in the way or the counsel. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. There is a digression when you do that. There's a progression. When you follow the things of God, when you study the Word of God, I hope that you want to be planted. Planted as God has seen fit. Oh, what a wonderful thing. By way of closing, I want you to go with me to Psalm 16 and notice this here. Psalm 16 and then we'll be done here. Psalm 16, verse 11. Notice Psalm 16, 11, what he says. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now notice the progression here. That we see the path of life, and in that we see the presence brings fullness of joy, and then there's pleasures. But do you know the world has that backwards? The world seeks, number one, pleasure. Pleasure's first. And pleasure they're hoping will bring joy or happiness to them. And then that happiness is supposed to then show them the path of life and which way to go. That's how the world thinks. That's what the world believes. And God has it backwards, or I should say the right way, frontwards. It's when you seek the path, which is meditating, as we just saw in the Word of God. The Bible shows you the path of life, doesn't it? The path of life. When you do that, His presence comes and brings joy to your life. Joy. Which thirdly then brings pleasures, temporal, no, forevermore. Evermore. Permanent pleasures. I think about the road, the Emmaus Road. You remember that, Luke? The Emmaus Road. Two of those guys walking down the Emmaus Road. And Jesus all of a sudden shows up after the resurrection. Hey guys, what you doing? Oh, nothing, just walking. What you talking about? Oh, you haven't heard? No. What happened? I love the Lord, how He works with people. He said, well, our Lord and Savior, we thought He was going to rule and reign and all this, and they crucified Him, and now His body's missing, and we don't know what's going on. And He walks and He listens to them gripe and bemoan and complain. But notice His presence. The presence of the Lord comes. They're walking down the pathway. The presence of the Lord comes, and then He reveals Himself to them. And they have pleasure, obviously. Oh, joy and pleasure. And Lord, it was You. And it says He went out of their sight, or He left. And they said, did not our heart burn within us? Did not our heart burn within us as He talked? There's something different about the words, plural, of God, of Christ. And that's what we hold in our hands here tonight. The words of God. When you meditate upon this Word, when you follow it, when you study it, you will be inevitably planted by the rivers of water. Planted. Not a fickle, not a fake, not a faux. One old redneck called a lady and said, I'm calling to find out about your fox fur you have for sale. She said, no, sir, that's faux fur. F-A-U-X. Faux. I'm calling about your fox fur for sale. Right? You guys get it? Fox fur, faux fur. Nobody gets it. These people are fake, though. They're faux. They're fickle. They're fakes, as we saw. They're fake. I want to be planted by the rivers of water. You're not going to do it, though. You're not going to do it unless you meditate in the Word of God. You study the Word of God. You stay focused on Him. You walk not. You stand. You don't sit with the ungodly. You stay focused where you're supposed to be. I hope that's helped to you. Stay planted. God's planted you somewhere. Stay put. Stay put. You're not planted anywhere yet. Lord, show me where to go. Show me what to do, because I want to be planted. And it starts right here in the Word of God. All right, I'll stop there. Thank you for being faithful tonight, listening, and I hope that was a help to you. Study the Word of God this week. Don't forget to spend time, and needless to say, but I'll say it anyways, don't forget to spend time in your Bibles this week. Don't forget to spend time in prayer. You may not be very good at praying. You say, I'm not real good at that, or whatever the case may be. Take time just simply talking to God, isn't it? You just talk to God. And Lord, help me. I don't know what to do. Or Lord, show me where to go. And Lord, You've got to, lead us, help us financially, help us with our relationship. Whatever it is, just talking with God. Don't forget to do that this week. God wants to hear from you. He sure does. All right, let me pray and we'll be done. Lord, thank You for an opportunity. And these dear folks sit here so faithfully and listen so intently. And I know they know most of this, God, but I'm so thankful that, God, what a great reminder to all of us to remain planted. You do the planting, Lord. And it truly is a predetermined position when we stay in Your Word and away from those things of ungodliness, and we avail ourselves to You and ask You to do Your work in our lives. How we thank You. Bless our week ahead, Lord. Protect us. Bring us back safely, if You will, this week. Lord, help us stay in our Bibles and stay in the prayer closet, seeking You as we should, as Your children, Lord. We thank You. In Thy precious name we do pray, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.